From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Ana Maria Sayer. Let the chisme begin.
Okay, as we said last week, Ana is in Puerto Rico, in San Juan.
My favorite place in the world.
And she's there for a very, very special occasion. She went to take in two of the Bad Bunny concerts that are scheduled throughout, all the way through September. So that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to unpack your experience.
Felix, this is the party of the summer, the party of the century, maybe one could say. I'm sad you missed it, but next time you can come with.
Yeah, summer's not over yet. Let's see what happens.
So I was lucky enough, I got invited as press to experience the shows designated for Puerto Ricans on the island here. It was amazing to experience the energy in that room of being in a show by someone from the island, for the island, to take that in, to understand the implications of that. So, Felix, I talked to a lot of people all this week, outside of the concert, in the concert, between concerts, and we're going to get into all of that, but I really, just to sum up, encapsulate the incredible energy and musical experience of what this show was, because it really was more than a show. It was like a guide to Puerto Rico in general and its history. I'm going to play you a sample of Bad Bunny's very famous song, Calladita. You might recognize it. Now, check out what it sounded like on Friday night.
Straight on big band salsa rearrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I personally never thought I would hear those lyrics over salsa rhythms. But that is really effectively, to me, what this show was again and again and again. It was turning on its head everyone's perception of what Bad Bunny is, of what the island is. It was really designed to be a structure around Puerto Rican identity, Puerto Rican music, and using all of these things to create something powerful. Everyone I talked to, I expected to kind of hear mixed opinions about, oh, how do we feel about this residency? Almost every single person I talked to described it as a euphoria. Just excitement, energy, a feeling of, wow, the fact that this man who is a global superstar is coming home and giving us these shows, is giving us this opportunity to celebrate who we are in El Coliseo, is incredible. I sat down with a friend of mine, Erica Rodriguez. She's a photographer, a photojournalist on the island. She's also one of the burgeoning pleneras in the big revival plena scene. And when she told me, because I was surprised, she's not a Bad Bunny fan, but walking into El Coliseo de Puerto Rico, which is one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic venue on a very musical island, Erica said she felt like it was something from her childhood. Felix, I want to play you a part of our conversation.
The only way I can summarize it, it was like El Día de la Puertorriqueñida on steroids. So in school here, we have one day a year. It's like official on the calendar. Private and public schools, we have El Día de la Puertorriqueñida, so the day of, I don't know how to translate that, Puertorriqueñida, where we kind of like celebrate Puerto Rican identity. And like when you're really young, everybody has like this, the same dress up of like la falda, la flor de maga, and a white shirt, and the boys are in a pava. Like it's kind of just like this iconic, stereotypical way of representing the people from El Campo. And when you're a kid, we all have that photo, El Día de la Puertorriqueñida de Jibarito Jibarita. And all of a sudden, it's like, you see this in a concert. I think the show really stunned me. Como me, yo estaba bastante en shock con todo lo que se estaba presentando, todos los statements políticos, todos los statements de identidad. I do think that it's a show for Puerto Ricans. Like, it's not a show. I mean, people from outside, they can enjoy it. But there's a lot of context and simbología of history that it's intertwined in the show that if you're Puerto Rican and you understand the context, you know what they're saying, you know what he's saying and how he's like celebrating the culture and calling for defending the island and our ownership of our land and of an identity and like having that pride for being Puerto Rican and what it means to stay here.
Talk me through a little bit of what exactly you saw. Like, you saw everything outside and you're like, this is kind of weird. And then you walked in the door and you were like, it makes a little more sense. Like, what was consistent about the flow of the show that was like, this is super Puerto Rican. This feels super for us. Like, what were some things that stood out to you?
I think even from the very beginning of having the show starting with Gastón and playing bomba and different rhythms of bomba and giving space to Afro-Puerto Rican music and having such a humongous stage, right? And not just like the space, but the fact that this is Bad Bunny. It's the biggest artist on the planet right now. And I don't know if somebody that's not from here that hasn't been exposed to that through their entire life, like, it's not the same experience. I think for a Puerto Rican, it's just like, it's deep, like, this is who we are. This is what my life has been, and we're celebrating it here. So I think for me, it was more than just a show. Like, it was not just a concert of like, oh, there's this musician and or singer singing and playing. It's like, it's a whole statement, and it's a whole also celebration, like, for people, I think, of giving space to people to janguear, y joder, y beber, y perrear, y llorar, y bailar salsa, like, all of that in one.
So that was Erica Rodriguez's initial impression of the show. And Felix, I cannot emphasize to you enough how thoroughly Bad Bunny represented so many different parts of the island currently and historically. That was something that was also said to me again and again, that there's something for everyone. There was salsa, plena, bomba. And we have to remember that a lot of these sounds, all of them at a certain point, have been representative of marginalized communities on the island. I mean, salsa even in Puerto Rico was considered like music del barrio at one point. And now to be something that's being celebrated on this massive stage, same with plena y bomba, which is still played in a lot of the Afro-Puerto Rican communities on the island today. Además, reggaeton, that gets its equal part, its equal celebration. I think I was shocked. As someone who enjoys the music, who enjoyed the album, who saw it represented, it really felt like there was no shortage of moments that were designed to keep alive and maintain a culture alive on the island that represents all of the music.
You know, something that stood out to me, what she said about the idea of there's one day a year where they can dress and celebrate Puerto Rican culture. And it, I don't know the history, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that that seems like that was a way to keep the culture down, to keep it from spreading. You only have one day a year to do this, to dress and recognize. The rest of the time, let's not talk about it. And have that contrast with this concert that is nothing but this massive celebration of what they were not able to express, that makes the impact of this concert series or this series of shows even more profound, I think.
Something that has always struck me about Puerto Rican identity, specifically this generation that Benito is a part of, it's like everything, the focus is at this stage now to reclaim that intense cultural expression. It's like they understand where they sit as a colony in relation to the mainland. And so every single choice and every single piece of art that they create or thing that they say, the way that they operate, it's always like, yo soy de Puerto Rico. That's how I introduce myself. Like, that is my number one identifying quality, virtue, whatever it might be. And they really sit with that. And so it felt like Bad Bunny, in many ways, was consuming this, adopting this, and then sending it back to them. Like, every single stage of the show, the first word that you hear, the actual words you hear spoken, is estamos aquí. And everyone explodes. And then his first words are, estamos en casa, no me quiero ir de aquí. And everyone explodes. It's like every single moment, every single chance he has, opportunity he has to establish that this is where they are and this is where they will stay. The music is almost like an accent to the message, to the political message, to the movement, to the vision for his Puerto Rico. And I spoke with a lot of young people in line who were all really excited about the show, some of them longtime fans, some of them coming to the art more newly because of this album, of this generation. And they echoed a lot of the sentiments that I heard him say in the actual show. One person I talked to in particular, her name is Erika Maria Rodriguez, shared that her only hope for the show is to be with the people from her island who are there.
Esperamos estar con nuestra gente. Aquí no importa dónde tú estés parado, dónde tú estés sentado, después de que tú miras para el lado y tú sabes que tú estás con gente de aquí, gente que te va a transmitir la misma energía con la que tú vienes, porque lamentablemente tú no vienes aquí a pasarla mal. Aquí todo el mundo que viene, el que está al frente, el que está al lado, el que está abajo, el que está arriba, todo el mundo viene a pasarla bien.
She said that it doesn't matter where you're coming from, when you look to your side or around you, that you know that you're with your people in the space. And I think that that's an energy that a lot of people felt. I mean, I met an old lady in a walker outside who showed up not knowing the music, not knowing anything about it, but said, I just wanted to see where everyone was gathering. I wanted to see how my people were being represented, this person who is carrying us with pride, who's helping levantar our self-esteem as an island. And this is something that I think Bad Bunny takes very seriously in this position, right? He talked on stage about how what Puerto Rico does best is talent and heart. And I think that that's something that a lot of people really feel and really express deeply. They can feel the way that the island is shifting in its pride and in its overall sentiment of, like that woman said, its self-esteem is almost on the rise as a result of all the energy he's bringing into the island.
Okay, we've been doing a lot of talking, Ana. Let's hear a little bit of music. What should we hear?
I think it's about time to play Baile Inolvidable, because we've talked about the salsa, we've talked about the old style of the record. This one, I never cannot dance to it.
We're going to dance our way into a break. We'll be right back with some more conversation about the Bad Bunny residency in Puerto Rico. Stand by. No.
Okay, Felix, we're back from break.
No kidding. Nice segue.
Thanks. Segues are an art for you, Felix. For me, it's just getting the job done.
Carry on.
And I, just to emphasize, because obviously this was a 3-hour show, Felix, like a marathon of the show. I don't know how this man is doing 3 nights of this every single week. I was exhausted from going to 2 nights in a weekend, and obviously I did lose my voice, I will say, to my credit, and I danced a lot. But to give you a sense of just how much of a swath of sounds that he included, I want to walk you through a couple of the guests that I got to see while I was there, because every night he brings about 4 guests, and so it's more than just, right, doing the visuals or shouting out different artists, which he does as well, but it's really like literally using musicians and giving them the space to actually have their own performances. So what he'll do is he'll bring a guest on, he'll do a song with them, and then he'll let them have their space to kind of fly and do their own things. The first artist that he brought, that he brings every single show, is Los Planeros de la Cresta, and they have a whole actual plena interlude there. They do like a couple of songs. So I want to play you a little bit of Los Planeros de la Cresta, their song Los de la Isla.
Una vez yo llegué a la Yupi. Un profe me preguntó que por dónde yo vivía, que de dónde vengo yo. Yo le dije, vengo de Ciales, y él como que se pasmó.
¿Quién más viene de la isla? A los demás preguntó. Pero ellos venían de Cagua, de Guaynabo y Bayamón, de Atorrey y de Cupey, y ninguno contestó. Eso sí me dejó perplejo, eso sí que me chocó. Y pensando en corregir, esta plena me salió.
Even just a studio recording is powerful.
Incredible. And what they're doing on the island is amazing. So that happens at La Casita because he moves back and forth between the stage and La Casita in the show. When he moves back to the stage, he breaks into a whole big band salsa moment like what you heard, Calladita.
And you know, that's something that Bad Bunny has done throughout his career. I remember seeing him on television. I think it maybe was the Latin Grammys where he brought out folkloric groups amidst this high-profile, very mainstream moment. What's the value of that and him doing that in this instance?
You know, a lot of people, Felix, are talking about the economic value of this residency, which certainly there is one. I mentioned this before I went, over $300 million supposedly projected to be infused into the economy. And that's really important, of course, for the growth of the island. But I think first and foremost, what he's doing here is really building social capital. And that's something that we've seen with the people that he's inviting to La Casita, people that are famous from the mainland, from different parts of Latin America. He's also celebrating a lot of people in Puerto Rico, inviting a lot of famous athletes and musicians and artists to be participants. What all of this does to me is effectively create a youth empowerment, which is really important when you're looking at an island where people can't afford to stay, where people are leaving, where people are spending a lot of time on the mainland, and he's calling out to everyone and saying, no, Puerto Rico is where you want to be, and also it's powerful culturally and can be economically. I think that that's a really important turning point for the island to be having. I talked to some people outside who kind of shared that sentiment. They said that he's been doing this for a while now, right? Like making them feel like there is social power to being Puerto Rican and that the youth do feel empowered. I spoke with Erica Maria Rodriguez about this, and she shared this sentiment that she's felt this accumulation of social power for the past few years as a result of what Bad Bunny's been doing, that the youth do feel empowered right now.
También en los últimos años hemos visto un cambio de poder social en la cultura puertorriqueña. Y hemos visto como que de la mano de este artista, lo que es Bad Bunny, esa transición donde ahora los jóvenes entienden su valor, entienden su poder y utilizan su voz de la misma manera que la usted.
But Felix, they were not just young people. You would have loved this. The amount of viejitas I saw outside was absolutely ridiculous. Like fully in their attire, ready to perrear. But showing up with generations of families, right? Like I talked to a few grandmas who were there with their daughters, with their sons, with their grandkids. And they said that really they were only there to be with family, that this was considered a family event. And moreover, that they felt that Puerto Rico needed someone like Bad Bunny. They talked about how this generation, they experienced Maria, they've lived through all these apagones, and that they needed someone who could unite them, who could speak directly to the people. And I think that there's a real value to that, right? That's beyond just, oh, the economic growth. It's young people seeing this and maybe feeling differently about where they're from, coming home, staying, voting differently. These are real concrete changes that could come from an experience like this. But it wasn't like they were just going to perrear because, Felix, there was something for them too. My first night there, he brought out the salsa legend of all legends, Gilberto Santa Rosa, and Gilberto sang La Agarro Bajando.
Déjala tranquila, entretenida con su juego de pasión, que a mí me está gustando, me encanta su estrategia, que me va enamorando. Tiene mucha gracia y manifiesta su conducta a perfección, que es lo que anda buscando, me intriga con su magia, que ella estará tramando. Tiene que caer y de una vez mi corazón y alma le entregaré. Es como un sueño del que no despierto y por eso déjala que siga. Yo la agarro bajando, yo la agarro bajando, yo la agarro bajando.
a topic for another show, and not for this show right now. But just like tracing the development of the bass, the role of the bass in straight ahead salsa, to me is fascinating. That dude was playing as melodically as Paul McCartney. It's amazing. File that away for an idea for a future show, because it's incredible. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Felix, you're going to die when you see the show. I'm dead serious. Because really, it is like the big band salsa experience. The musicians are insane.
I can imagine. I mean, because that's...
That's Puerto Rico.
Growing up, from my generation, okay, mid-60s, Puerto Rico was one of the centers of salsa, where the development of salsa came from, right? Along with New York, a little more so than Cuba, actually, because of the politics. But yeah, Puerto Rico, to me, has always been identified with this ground zero for a lot of salsa, both Puerto Rico and in New York.
It is, Felix, but there is, again, this really important shift. I have a friend, Rafael Cancel Vasquez, and he happens to be the son of Rafael Cancel Miranda, who was one of the four people who invaded the U.S. Capitol in 1954 as a statement for Puerto Rican independence. Now, Rafa, obviously, very interesting person with a lot to say, but one of the really important things he's doing right now on the island is he's established this salsa event called Cambio en Clave, and it's a place where people can collectively come and dance salsa together, specifically young people. He actually describes it as the Tinder of the island. The point of all of this is that before Bad Bunny came and did his residency, Rafa was effectively in residency with salsa in this event. And what he said to me is that it's so important to continually emphasize the fact that for him, salsa was not considered high class or high society music. It's something that you heard and knew about, but that was in like grocery stores and irrelevant, not very exciting places. But with a lot of the energy that's happening all at the same time as Bad Bunny's doing his residency, people are reclaiming all parts of Puerto Rican identity and seeing all parts of the identity as powerful. It's really interesting, honestly. And he said, of course, he's seen a huge uptick and explosion since the album came out and expects to see even more as people come in for the residency. But he's hoping that with a lot of this infusion of energy, that people will continue to have a cultural pride that translates into real change for the island.
Considering how dynamic the cultural life of the island is right now, are there other people doing something similar, working to use culture as an agent of change?
So this is one of the things, Felix, that to me is the most exciting, because all eyes are on the residency right now. But I mentioned Los Pleneros de la Cresta earlier, that they're obviously this plena band that has been around for a bit. I've talked about them on the show before. They started at Universidad de Puerto Rico, Ria Piedra, specifically with the idea that they were going to create a group to keep plena alive. Now, what they're doing, and I talked to them after the show, in this moment, is taking advantage of all the energy, all of the heat on the island, and they're actually have created this really interesting thing. It's called a ruta, basically, where they're bringing people to their hometown and using it as a moment not only, obviously, to generate tourism dollars, but to educate people, to educate tourists, they said both people from around the island and people from abroad, on what is all parts of Puerto Rican culture. They're taking them to different stops along the way and giving them effectively like a little bit of a history lesson in what El Campo is, the music that comes from it. They're doing different workshops that are like plena workshops and coffee workshops. And all of the money from this is actually going to help renovate a cultural institute in their hometown. And to me, this is very, very, very much representative of the power of how people use music on the island. They're basically stepping in as musicians to serve as their own politicians, their own government, to raise money for cultural institutions, to educate people on what it is to be Puerto Rican. And they told me that their hope is that within all of this, if they can establish this kind of a program, then the government can see that and actually step in and support their programming and give them money and give them funding, make this a year-round experience. So that to me is what I can see being the reverberations of this residency, right? It's not just obviously a lifting up of all of the island economically, but really kind of tapping the government to step in and take advantage of some of the ways that, as they described it, Bad Bunny is putting fuel on the fire.
Okay, Ana, you mentioned that there were some nights where you just talked for hours and hours about this stuff. Obviously, we could keep on going, but we can't talk for hours and hours at the moment. But before we wrap up, Talk a little bit about what you think this means for Latin America in general, this kind of cultural event, this kind of movement, this kind of recognition of homegrown culture and pride.
So, Felix, I kind of had this light bulb moment outside of El Choli as I was talking to people. I kept bringing up this idea of, oh, but are people afraid that he's bringing tourists on the island? And everyone's like, no, as long as they're responsible tourists, it's fine. And to me, I think what I had imagined is a lot of people coming from the U.S., kind of taking advantage of the moment, paying a lot of money, and seeing maybe some not as good changes on the island. But what I realized as I was sitting outside is I was like, no, this is a really important moment for Latin America. To see an artist like this occupying his home space, taking it back, I think we will see a lot of people coming from all parts of both continents to see this concert. And what really struck me, obviously I've talked about how much I think that this album means for Latin America in its entirety. I think everyone can understand right now, no matter what part you're from, that fear of your home changing and losing where you're from. And I took my friend, Maria Corina Ramirez, who is Venezuelan, to the show. This was the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. Felix, you know I told you trying to pick one person was like, I don't know how I did it. I think all my other friends probably hate me now. But the point is, Maria Corina, she's Venezolana. She had to move when she was 8 years old. And as we were sitting outside, she talked about what this album meant for her mom, that her mom cries every single time she hears Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii. She was able to go to the residency actually 2 weeks before we did. And Maria Corina described to me what it's like to watch her mom listen to this song, given that Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii is a song about not losing your home.
What literally, I saw her start sobbing when the song said, si un día me tocara, que mucho me va a doler, like, because we had to leave and we knew what that was like, you know? And so I think that's also the impact that goes beyond Puerto Rico. It's like everyone who's had to leave Latin America hears that and it's automatically like, I know what that is, you know? I know what the heartbreak is. And I also know what it's like to really love the joy and the spirit of who Latin America is and have to also suffer the way that we suffer.
En el verde monte adentro no se puede respirar. Las nubes están más cerca, con Dios se puede hablar. Si hay el jíbaro llorando, otro más que se marchó. No quería irse por Lando, pero el corrupto lo echó. Y no se sabe hasta cuándo. Quieren quitarme el río y también la playa. Quieren el barrio mío.
Lots to take in. As we said, this is going to run all summer. I'm sure there are going to be things that happen during the course of this show that we'll want to mention on the show. So we'll keep an eye on this whole thing that's happening throughout the summer.
And maybe we'll be back, Felix.
Maybe. Let's see. Wink, wink. Anna, thanks so much for your firsthand report on this.
No,
thank
thanks necessary, Felix. This was the highlight of my life.
Wow.
So.
You should have led with that.
With his
man.
Hand, honestly.
You should have said that at the beginning of the show. You have been listening to Alt Latino from NPR Music. Our audio editor is Noah Caldwell. Sarayo Mohammed is executive producer of NPR Music. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Ana Maria Sayer.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.